take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 6. 1 Chronicles, chapter 6. We'll read verses 31 through 36 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Chronicles, chapter 6, verses 31 through 36. 1 Chronicles, chapter 6, verses 31 through 36. These are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. They ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they waited on their office according to their order. And these are they that waited with their children of the sons of Kohathites, Heman, a singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zoph, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, and I'll read verse 48 if you'll follow along silently, please. Their brethren also, the Levites, were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacle of the house of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place, this church, for the place to where a bunch of sinners gather together, all in need of a Savior. And thank you for being that Savior. Thank you for our preacher, our man of God. Thank you that it can be said of Martinsburg, there is a man of God in this city. Lord, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our lives for eternity, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I do not know what you thought you would hear from this pulpit, but I am going to be extremely, extremely practical today. Somehow, I think that we overly complicate the Christian life. We almost make it unreachable, and sometimes we prefer that. If it were unreachable, if it were something that we could not do, then we would not have to worry about our consciences getting to us. We'd not have to worry about fixing up our lives. But I happen to believe that God is a practical God. I happen to believe that God truly wants us to live the Word of God and the Bible. You bear with me today. I am going to be very simple. My goal today is not to preach a great sermon, and I won't. I won't. My goal today is that I help you. And if you'll listen to me, I promise you, if you will listen to me, this sermon is going to change your life. And I'm talking about in a practical way. It is something that you can live, it is something you can take home with you, and it is a great way to start a new year. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, you see Solomon. Solomon was building the house of the Lord. It was not yet finished. There was a choir of people that sang regularly, looking forward to the church's completion, if you will. They anxiously waited to be given some duties. It says there in 1 Chronicles 6, it uses these terms. They were looking for offices that would be assigned to them when the new church was finished. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 32, it says this, "And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order." Now notice there, the Bible says according to their order. You know, for a ministry to succeed, that ministry must have order. For a ministry to succeed, a ministry must have what we call organization. As you read in this passage of Scripture, they were building a building, they were building a ministry, and here it tells us that these people were waiting to be assigned the tasks that would be theirs in the service of the church, and it says they were waiting according to their order. And then, if we read that whole chapter, you would see they begin listing a whole bunch of names. And those names are in a specific order. I could not tell you exactly why. Now, of course, it talks about there being a choir that's singing. Maybe they were listed in accordance to an order in the way they were singing. Maybe they had the basses and their names were all listed together. And then maybe the altos, or maybe the sopranos, or maybe the tenors. I don't know. But they were listed in an order. As you begin to read those names, God said, now, I'm going to give you some names, and they're going to be listed in an order. Listen to this. It says, their brethren also, the Levites, were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacle of the house of the Lord. These men, here it says, the Levites, they were appointed in an organized way some duties in the tabernacle. Now, so you understand, God is a God of organization. God is not scatterbrained. Not at all. God does this. God planned His work, then He worked His plan, and He never gets sidetracked. Get that now. God planned His work, then He worked His plan, and He never gets sidetracked. Now, I've got a hunch that might have something to do with the perfection of God. God planned His work, then He worked His plan, and then He never gets sidetracked. The Bible is God's book of organization. God sat down one day, way, 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 way back when, and He wrote down what He was going to accomplish. And I've got His notes. And you have His notes. God's an organizer. This Bible, it's God's personal appointment book with man. This Bible, this book is God's schedule book. The Bible, it's God's things to do list. This Bible, they are God's written goals for the universe, for man and his creation. The Bible is God's order of service. I have an order of service card here that we use as we have our church services. Young Fundamentalists and Brother Joshua Owens has an order of service. Brother John Kidwell and the King's Kids, they follow an order of service. The men's prayer meeting has an order of service. Our chapels have an order of service. And God said, I am going to orchestrate the creation of a universe and the creation of a world, and I'm going to orchestrate the creation of man. And He said, I have a book that is my order of service for what I want them to do. The Bible is God's blueprint that He follows, not just us, but that He follows. The Bible is God's roadmap to the accomplishments that God wants to accomplish. Hey, the Bible is God's resolution list. The Bible is God's plan for success. Hey, for those of you that work at a shop where you have work orders, the Bible is God's work order for the day, for the week, for the month, for the year, for the decade, for the millennium. Hey, for all eternity. He's got some plans. He sat down, He wrote it down, and he makes it happen. Hey, the Bible is God's budget. He follows it. The Bible is God's organized plan that helps Him to achieve His perfection. See, He planned His work, then He works His plan, and He never gets sidetracked. Would that be a good theme for 2006 for you? Plan your work, work your plan, and don't get sidetracked. Today is New Year's Day. Many here have made or will make some type of a New Year's resolution. Why is that? Well, we feel that at the New Year, we can have a fresh start. We can clean the slate. We can kind of start over. And I'm glad of that. Now, let me tell you something, though. One of the greatest causes of failure, even with New Year's resolutions, I mean, think of all the ones you made last year that you didn't stick with. Let me tell you why we so often fail. Something awful simple. We fail an awful lot, folks, because we do not organize to succeed. Now, that word organization scares us. We don't really, sounds like work to me. But organization. Did you know that there is a great amount of stress in life due to the result of a lack of organization? Confusion often comes because of a lack of organization in one's life. Depression can come because of a lack of a schedule and a lack of organization in life. Waste of life comes because of lack of organization of life. Wasted potential. You have a potential. You have some things. You ought to be growing. You ought to be fulfilling God's potential that He gave you. But you'll fail at that. Why? Because of lack of organization. I wonder how many people in here have great potential to do great things, but you have not organized your life to get anything done with your life, so you're wasting days and weeks and months and years. And you don't get those years back. And you don't get those weeks back. And you don't get those days back. You don't get those hours back. Life is a precious thing. I want to live every minute of it. I want to get everything out of every moment of every day that I can. We don't have long to serve Him down here. We ought to make the best of it. Hey, unfulfilled dreams. There's some of you, you dream. But you're never going to do anything with your dream because you do not sit down and organize a way to get to your dream. You have goals. It's one thing to sit down in a moment and set a goal. It's another thing to plan a plan and then work the plan and don't get sidetracked and fulfill those goals. One of the biggest reasons people do not fulfill their New Year's resolutions is a lack of organization. They have no plan to help them fulfill their promise. You promised yourself, or you promised God, or you promised your husband, or you promised your wife, or you promised your kids that you're going to get something done in this year. But you made the promise, but you have no plan to fulfill the promise. All I want to do is help you today. If you'd like to succeed, you're going to have to get organized. You need to get organized. Oh, do we hate the thought of that. But if there's any time in the year when I can get away with saying this, it's now. I mean, everybody out there saying, get organized, let's get organized. Watch the infomercials. They're going to have everything ready for you for your new diet and the new you. And boy, we're ready to get organized for the next week. Yeah. And then 51 other weeks, we'll get back to the regular messed up, unorganized, unfocused self. Brother Bush, can you go and get me my things? Listen, if you were smart about 2 weeks ago, you should have purchased a stock in Rubbermaid, because this is the time of the year when tubs and organizers and everything that helps you to get it together in life, these things become very popular. Now, let's watch Brother Bush and let's hope he does not spill my props. One, two, three. Fantastic. I have here some things that will help you to organize. Some of you, you're already thinking, I'm going to go buy something to help me organize. And I think you ought to get organized. And these things are going to help me, to help you today. You see, I think our problem is we have goals. We have desires. But you have got to plan how to get from point A to point B if you are going to succeed. Let me tell you what I mean. I think we need to organize our personal relationship with God. It's not going to just happen. You organize your personal relationship with God. For instance, let's see in this tub right here. I pull it. Oh, there it is. Oops. Here it says, I pull it out, relationship with God. We're going to have to get it organized. We're going to have to, just like you would go out and buy some little tub and you say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all the crayons in one of these. The ones that have been chewed on, the ones that have not been chewed on. I'm going to put them in one of these and we're going to organize. You need to organize your relationship with God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. God said, get organized about your relationship with me. What you don't organize, you're not going to do. If you don't have a plan, you're not going to get it done. And you know what? I know this congregation. I know you'd like to get into your Bible. I know you'd like to pray. I know you'd like to serve God. And the will is there, but the problem is you don't organize it. You don't plan it. So though you're sincere about wanting to do it, you don't do it because you didn't have a plan to do it. If you have no plan for Bible reading, you won't do it. Let's see. I look in my tub here, and I have, right there, it is. Bible reading, we're going to need to organize if we're going to read our Bible. Listen, some of you need to sit down and say, all right, I am going to read my Bible. I'm not just going to say, I ought to read my Bible, I'm going to do it. And I am going to get me a plan on reading my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible daily. That's a good start. Maybe you want to read your Bible through this year. You're going to start in Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation. I know that back here on this table and back here in the track rack, there are some 2006 Bible reading charts. And if you take them all with you today and we need to go get some more for next week, we'll do it. But the problem is you're not organized. If you'd organized to read your Bible, you're more apt to do it. You need a time that you're going to read your Bible. Just leaving it to just happening to happen, that's not going to happen. If you need to get up in the morning and say it's 6:30 every morning, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible, you need to organize it or you're not going to do it. You need a place. You need a place where you go to read your Bible, a time that you're going to read your Bible. You need to do it daily. Maybe you need to choose how many chapters you're going to read a day. Maybe you're not going to read your Bible all the way through this year. And that's fine. Look right this way at me. And maybe you're not going to read your Bible all the way through this year. But you say, Brother Owens, I'm committing to God. I'm going to read a chapter a day. Or I'm going to read two chapters a day. Or three chapters a day. But you need to plan it. You need to organize it. So many of you say, that's right, Brother Owens. Well, I don't want you just to say that's right. I want you to get a plan. I want you to organize your walk with God and your relationship with God. Somebody here needs to say, every day, all year long, I'm going to read my Bible during my lunch break at work. Every day, maybe you're going to listen to the Bible on CD or on cassette, but you need to plan a way to build your relationship with God through the Word of God, and you need to plan to read it. Not only that. There's something else. I look into my tub and there's the word prayer. Now, if you don't organize your prayer life, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm not talking about just praying over your meals. Though for some of you, that keeps you praying a lot. But I'm talking about more than that. You need to pray daily. You need a place where you pray and a time where you pray and amount of time that you're going to give to prayer. And you probably need to get a list, though I'm not talking about becoming vainly repetitious, but I'm talking about something that reminds you of those things for which you will pray. Listen, if you want to have a good relationship with God, it is not going to just happen. You have to make it happen on purpose. So, I'm saying to you, you need to organize. Just like we'd take a tub and we might use an organizer in life, you need to organize your Christian life and you need to have a time and a place and a purpose in your Bible reading and a time and a place and a purpose in your prayer life. And you're going to need a time and a place in regard to even your soul winning. Listen, I don't think anybody in here would say, I'm uninterested in the souls of men. I think everybody in here probably cares about people. But if you will not say, all right, I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it every week of my life. I'm going to show up on Thursday night soul winning or Saturday soul winning or I'm going out on the bus route on Saturday or whatever you're going to do. Maybe Tuesday's going to be your day or Monday's going to be your day. But listen, you ought to plan the fact that you care about the souls of men and organize it so that you are going to tell others about Jesus Christ. Hey, let's organize our personal relationship with God. Secondly, oh, you'll like this one. Let's organize our finances. Let's see what's in tub number two. Oh, that's what I thought. Finances. You need to organize your finances. See, I don't like this, Brother Owens. I'd rather you preach on standards and separation from the world than organization. 1 Corinthians 16:1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order." Here the Bible is talking about the church and the church being organized financially and the people being organized financially. It talks about there's some order. Now, you're not going to have successful finances unless you organize it. Some of you do not even know what shape your finances are really in. And you like it that way. You think, I'd just rather stay blind to it. That's not a smart way of doing things. Some of you need to prepare a budget and stick with it or get some help. You say, I don't know. You use that word budget. I don't know what to do about it. Now, I taught here for many, many weeks on finances, trying to help you. If you say, I'm not sure what it means, you get to one of the staff men, you get to myself. But we could help you prepare a budget. What is a budget? It's a roadmap. It's something that says to you, you have this much money, you're going to do this with that money, and there's a line one, and you're going to pay your rent, and line two, you're going to pay your electricity, and line three, you're going to need to buy some gas for the car, line four, you got so much to spend on groceries. Instead of this thing of cashing your check and just throwing money everywhere and hoping it lands at the right spot. Finding yourself with too much month left at the end of the money, and it's not that you didn't make enough, it's that you didn't spend right what you had, and you had no guidelines, and so you end up in a mess. Let's organize our finances in 2006. Some of you, this is what you need to do. You need to go home, you need to get all the bills together. You know how when they come in and you get the third or the fourth bill from the same place, and you already know what it says, so you think, I don't think I'll open that. You need to get rid of a bunch of those duplicate bills and get it down to where you have one and it's not frustrating to you. You need to figure out who you owe and how much you owe and when you owe it to them. There's some of you, you need to just balance your checkbook. What? Yeah, balance your checkbook. You say, well, I can, Brother Owens, watch. I balance it on my finger. I'm talking about balancing the numbers. So you know how much has come in and how much is going out and where the missing checks are. You need to balance it. Somebody here needs to destroy a credit card. Destroy it. Say, well, why should I? You better get it before it gets you. Yes, sir. Somebody here, I'll tell you, somebody here needs to get rid of your Access 24 card. That's where you have access to your money 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It'd be better if you didn't have access to your money at all. But the fact that every time you get a thrill and say, I need a few bucks, and you run down there and you get money anytime you want, keeps you from thinking thoroughly through some of the expenditures. And that's why some of you are a mess. And then you don't record it. You don't know how much has come in. You don't know how much. You don't know where your money's at. You need to organize your finances. It's just a compartment of your life. Hey, get a plan. Some of you need to get a spiritual plan financially. Some of you need to plan the tithe and tithe. You need to plan your offerings or your faith promise. There's some of you owe God, and you ought to make up to God what you owe Him. It's time for some of you to get a plan on how to get out of debt. Stop ignoring it. Stop digging yourself deeper. Get a plan. Get yourself organized. Get yourself so that you know how much money's coming in and plan on paying off some of that debt. Now listen, I'm not mad at you about the debt. I'm trying to help you to know that if you want to succeed, you're going to have to get organized. Plan your work. Work your plan. Don't get sidetracked. Look, some of you, there's no way you'll be out of debt or solve your debt problem in a few months or a year. But you ought to get a plan, even if it's a long-term plan, and if it'll take you a year or 2 years or 3 years, get that plan, stick to that plan, and be encouraged that you do have a plan, and follow the plan. I'm going to say this, and I've got to move on. It's time for some of you to do, I've told you, some of you have joined us since, it's time for some of you to plan something for your retirement. Stop spending every penny you make. Stop going to McDonald's so much and take a few bucks a week and put it aside. Your day's coming. The day's coming when you're not going to have the money you need as you grow older, and you're going to wish you would have planned something for your retirement. But you need to do it now. You young people, one Wednesday night I showed you how if you put so much money away from the time you were in your teenage years until the time you were in your senior years, how much you'd be worth. And it is a remarkable amount. And it wouldn't take that much. I can tell you all sorts of senior citizens that would stand today and say, listen to that man. He knows what he's talking about. And though it's not upon you right now, and you think the most important thing in the world is a fancy car or some fancy shoes or some sports jacket that costs you $300 or $400 because you made your statement, I'm telling you, your day's coming and you're going to wish that you had organized your finances. But we need to move on. What else could we organize? If we would organize, our marriages. You say, organize a marriage? I know it sounds dumb to you, but yeah. Organize it. Marriage is not like a disease. It's not just something that comes upon you. You organize your marriage. You listen, it's like anything else. You have a good marriage on purpose. You work at it. There are some things that ought to be inserted into your marriage and some things that should be taken out of your marriage. The Bible says this. It says in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1, Hezekiah is sick. And the Bible says this, he's about to pass away. And in this given instance, it says in 2 Kings 20, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. In other words, there is some organization, and I need to do something for a second. I want to organize all of us. Folks, again, I know it's not the same people, but we're having church. I probably had about 10 people get up and walk out. Now look, everybody needs to sit still and pay very close attention. I'm not mad at you, but when 40 people look at you while I'm speaking, I'm struggling to keep everybody's attention. I told you before, this is not a movie theater. We don't walk in and walk out and go get popcorn when we want and go have a cigarette when we want. Just sit still for a little while. It won't kill you. Tell you what it is. The average person sucked up to the television so much they can't sit still very long because they're used to a commercial every once in a while. Let me see if I can help. Brother Guin, do you have a commercial with you? I know you could, but thank you. I was going to have him, you know, do a commercial on Slim Fast or something. You need to organize your marriage. It is time for some of you men to sit down and say, I am going to become a better husband, and this is how I will do that. And you actually think through it and quit being lazy about it. It's time for some of you ladies to sit down and say, I want to be the wife that God wants me to be, and I'm going to list the things that could improve it. I'm going to take some things out. I'm going to get me a list. I'm going to organize it, and I'll accomplish it. Now, if you're waiting for somebody else to do it, they're not going to do it for you. Organize to make your marriage better. Organize your marriage. Hey, you need to plan some weekly dates. You got to take your wife out on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about you take her out to cut wood with you. I got a brand new chainsaw, Brother Owens. I even had a blade sharpened. The chainsaw sharp. Listen, you ought to plan. Now look, you say, oh, I know I oughta. I get tired of hearing I oughta. It ought to be I'm gonna. Tell you what will happen. After your marriage is a mess because you don't spend any time alone anymore, then you can come see me and we can see if we can stitch her back together. You ought to be going out on a regular basis. You need to plan to remember some of the important dates in your marriage's life. Your anniversary. Birthdays. This year, I forgot my wife's birthday. She told me it didn't bother her. She told me that about 50 times.
She said, it doesn't bother me that you forgot my birthday.
By the way, honey, it doesn't bother me that you forgot my birthday. Honey, don't worry. It doesn't bother me. I said, about what, honey?
You know what.
First time in 57 years I've forgotten her birthday. He won't forget that right there either. You need to organize your marriage. Organize it. Plan some weekly dates. Plan to remember those important dates in your life. Hey, plan a time to talk. can't tell you how often a married husband or wife says, we just don't talk anymore. We don't communicate. We'll plan a time. Plan some overnight excursions. Go somewhere overnight. Just go and get a hotel room and spend a little time together. Plan. Hey, some of you need to plan to get some fire back in your intimate life. I'm talking about the people that are married, because people that aren't married shouldn't have a physical relationship. Even if you're living together, you're not supposed to be sleeping together.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Should I say that again? I'm not going to, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You ought to plan it. You need to organize it. You ought to plan your marriage. You need to plan to do certain things in your marriage. I'll tell you something that will take a lot of pressure off some of your marriages if you do point number two, organize your finances. One of the reasons why we struggle so much in our marriages is because we've got our finances so messed up. Some of you need to hear in this thing of your marriage, you ought to organize your home a little bit. It's right there in the tub. Organize your home. What do you mean, Brother Owens? Well, try cleaning it. You got a shovel. Clean it up. Y'all shouldn't be living in a pigsty. Christians ought to be the cleanest people on the face of the earth. Clean it up. You know something? You wouldn't be in such a mess financially if you take a little better care of your vehicle. It costs money to let your car run down and get nasty. Take care of it. Clean your garage. I'm going to start this week. And I should be finished by this time next year. clean things up. You hear the story? A man went to see the pastor and said, Pastor, something terrible is happening. Pastor said, what's happening? He said, it's between my wife and I. Pastor said, what's happening? The man said, it's terrible. I think my wife is trying to poison me slowly. The pastor said, listen, let me sit down. Let me talk to her for a little while. The pastor came back and said, sir, I talked to your wife about an hour. If I were you, I'd just go ahead and drink the poison. You are not going to succeed unless you get organized. I'm going to tell you what a whole bunch of you are good at. You're very good at New Year's making a resolution. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, that's good. Now, the key is to organize it, plan your work, work your plan. Don't let anything sidetrack you. And you need to get it together. You need to get your relationship with God together and organize it and plan it and work the plan and don't get sidetracked. You need to get your finances together. You need to plan to work on your finances. Get a plan. Work the plan. Don't get sidetracked. It's time for somebody to say, I will improve my marriage. Here is my plan. I'll work the plan. I won't get sidetracked. Some of you need to organize. What do we have here behind curtain number four? Oh, it says family. F-A-M-I-L-Y, family. It's time for some of us to organize for our family's sake. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 17:23, Ahithophel is about to die, and he said he went home and he put his household in order. He got things in order for his family. There ought to be order in a family. Good families are families that have certain things taking place for a certain reason. It's planned. You don't just naturally have a good family. Matter of fact, naturally is carnal and fleshly. It needs to be spiritual, and spiritual is something you have to work on. Listen, I would recommend to some of you that you not let so work eat up so much of your family life. You're so busy becoming a success, you don't spend time with your wife, you don't spend time with your kids. But yet there are others. You're so lazy, you don't have a good job. You don't go to work on a regular basis. So the lack of finances and you laying around the house all the time, that is destroying your family. But you need time with your family. You need to organize. You need to organize family night. And organize a family vacation. Don't let June, July, and August come again this year where you say, well, we only got no time or no way. We didn't plan it. We didn't organize it. Well, it's January. Plan now. Spend some time with your family. Have some family devotions. Eat meals together as a family. Work around the house together as a family. Make it fun. Look, you won't have a good family unless you organize it. You have to do it on purpose. You need to organize time with your children. Look, folks, I'm for family time, but I need to recommend that you spend not only time with the group called the family, but you get time with your individual kids. Dad, you need to know your son, and then the next son, and then the next son. You won't get to know them in a unit. You'll get to know them as individuals. Some of you don't even know your kids. You know? You got to know your daughter. You got to know your son. Get to know them. Organize it. I think you have good intentions in regard to your family, but you do not take the time to organize the success that it's going to take. Organize it. Let's see here. What else could we organize? That's what it sounds like in the garage right now. Let's see. You ever seen one of these? These are really neat. Compartmentalized. Okay. Let's see. What do we have here? I better get organized. Oh, I've got it. Oh, our ministries. Our ministries. We ought to organize those of you that serve the Lord here in this church.
Ooh.
Make sure your ministry is organized. It'll work out depression. It'll work out frustration. Ecclesiastes 12:9, it says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." You know, a church that's successful is a church that is organized.
Sure.
Organization in the ministry is one of the key elements to true victory and success. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, we need the Holy Spirit of God in our church." Yes, indeed, I agree with that. But you know, the Holy Spirit cannot work past some of the church's disorganization.
Right.
It's almost like electricity. If the Holy Spirit is like electricity and power, you know something? There is plenty of electricity that could be pumped into a building, but the building has to be able to receive it. It's got to be channeled and distributed properly. And if it cannot be channeled, if the wiring within the system cannot handle the power coming in, the power can't come in. And the same thing is true at a church. If the power of God would like to come upon a church and to come upon a people, if the people are not organized to where they're the conduits, if that power can't flow, if it's resisted, if it's unorganized, if there are not channels through which it could flow, then you're not going to have all the power that's available. And so the ministries have to be organized. Bus captain, get your bus route organized. You ought to have the name and address of everyone, and you ought to be able to read the name and address. You ought to have a follow-up program for your new riders. You ought to have a program on the bus that is planned every week of the year. You just don't get on the bus and ride back and forth to church and smile at each other. There's a program on the bus and a purpose. You ought to have a plan. Every bus captain ought to have an organized plan for their ministry. Every worker ought to be a part of that plan. Hey, Sunday school teacher, what's your plan? You got to have an order of service. You got to be at the teacher's meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday nights. What's your plan to keep new students and to get new students? What's your plan, adult teacher, for your auxiliary members? You got the addresses? Are they all up to date? Do you actually have a plan? I'll tell you something. You say, "Brother Owens, I just don't have a lot of pizzazz." You can build without pizzazz if you'll organize and just obey God. Just obey God. You say, "Brother Owens, my Sunday school class is just not going anywhere." Then you come to my office and you bring me the plan you've been using. The average person says, "Well, I really don't have a plan." Well, how are you going to succeed without a plan? Organize it. Ministry leader, get your ministry organized. Martinsburg Christian Academy, it ought to be better organized than the public schools. The athletic department ought to be organized. The teachers ought to be organized, and the cheerleading ought to be organized, and the music ought to be organized, and the office work ought to be organized. Now, every one of you students and everybody in here that has anything to do with school, don't you tell me you have to fail. You don't have to fail. You just need to organize to study and organize to read and organize to prepare for a test and organize to do what needs to be done and organize to do your homework. Son, just not smart. You don't have to be smart.
You just do what you're supposed to do. You get a plan. You plan to work. And then you work the plan. And you don't let anything stop you. And you'll pass. You'll pass. Our problem is we just won't get it together. We don't want to sit down and force ourselves to think through something to be a success. Greeters, be organized. Choir, special music. Choir members, we'll never be successful if you won't show up for practice. Special music, you can't be a success unless you show up for practice. What's your plan? Organize it. Every assistant Sunday school teacher, get organized. The lawn care ministry, let's be organized. Maintenance and janitorial, whatever your ministry is. The nurseries, everything. Hey, God's work ought to be done decently and in order. And, well, I think one of the reasons why our church is just going crazy and we're growing and we're growing. You say, I tell you what, Brother Owens, I think it's the funny stories you tell in the pulpit. Well, that might have a little bit to do with it, but not a lot. I think the Holy Spirit can come to our church and work because it's organized enough where He can get something done. Some of you need to go to war with your excuse making. Go to war with your procrastination. Go to war with your lack of character. Go to war with your no commitment or your weak commitment. Get organized. Sit down. Think through it. Get organized. Let's see what else we have here. This will help some of you. I looked at that thing. It says rubber made roughneck. I thought it said redneck. I thought, that was made right here in West Virginia. Okay, here's another tub. Business. We have a lot of business people in our church, and thank God for you. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Businessmen who fly off the seat of their britches and they run off their personality. Your personality will run out sooner or later when the IRS catches you. I got a good personality. Well, you better get some good organization or you're going down. And your preacher's just here to love you and help you. This could save your business by you just getting it together and getting yourself organized. Fix your tax problem, businessman. Learn to advertise, businessman. Plan ahead, businessman. Straighten out your office paperwork, businessman. Set some goals, businessman. Fix what's broken, businessman. Organize. Organize. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, isn't that neat? We've got something else. Let's see. Oops, upside down. That's not very organized. This says, my new life in Christ. You know what? I'd recommend something to somebody here today. I'd recommend you get saved. You've needed to for a long time. You say, all right, that's it. I'm doing it. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to turn my life over to Christ. Plan it. Do it on purpose. Say, well, I'm here. I'm at church. If I die today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I better get saved. I better start living my life for Jesus Christ. I'm going to get born again. Then you say, what should I do after that? You get baptized. Because that's God's order. The Bible says you ought to get born again and then you ought to get baptized. Then you say, what should I do? Then join the church. Then what should I do? Show up for all the services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's time for some of you to say, you know something, I am just going to organize my commitment to God. I'm not going to be a hit and miss Christian. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm planning it today. This is how it's going to be for the rest of this year. I'm done. I'm done being a fly-by-night Christian. I'll just pop in at the church for a little while, see how they're doing. We're doing fine. The problem is, how you doing? The kind of preaching that you're getting this morning, it would make your life so much better. We do this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, 365 days out of the year. Think how much more successful your life would be. Some of you need to do whatever you need to do to be used of God. Plan it. Sit down and say, these are the things I've got to do to be used of God. I'm going to do them. Plan it. Work that plan. Don't get sidetracked. It's time for somebody to decide, I am going to be a full-time Christian no matter what. That's it.
This is it. This is a year. This is a year that I sit down consciously and say, I will get into the church and I will get involved and I will not let anything stop me. I'm going to organize my life, and a major part of that organization will be my local New Testament church. That'll change your life. Organize. 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 If you're here today, you say, well, Brother Owens, you know what? I'll do that. I'll join the church. Wait, wait. You got to do it God's organized way. You got to be saved first. You get baptized, and you join the church. It's not hard. Somebody could do that today. I'm ready. I'll go for it. I'll do it God's way. And I wish you would. Plan what you're supposed to do. Work your plan. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Everybody here that will do what I just taught, you will have a wonderful year. You can spout off about all the big plans that you have that you want, but if after your New Year's resolution, you do not organize a way to accomplish it, you were just blowing smoke when you made your promise. You've got to follow through and do something about it. And I wish you would. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, I don't know that, Brother Owens, and get born again. You need to get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Well, the best thing for you to do then is to get saved. Who would say, Preacher, that's what I need. I just need to make a conscious decision. I need to be born again. I need to get saved. I need to take care of that. Pray for me, Preacher. That's what I need to do. Will you raise your hand and say, that's me. I just need to get started this new life. That's what I need. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I just need to be saved. I need to get this cared for. I'm in church. I know I need church. I know I need God. Okay, I'm just starting it today. I'm not putting it off. Somebody, you came today for that very reason. He said, I've got to get this year started out right. That's why you're here. Who else would say, Preacher, that's what I need. I need to get born again. I need to get saved. I need to get started out this year and get this cared for. Who would say this? Brother Owens, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I've been saved, but I need to be baptized. And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. I need to get this thing cared for. I need to get it in order. There's a bunch of people that could say, Brother Owens, you know what? You're right. I need to organize my life. I need to take this challenge. There's some things I've got to get organized so I'm not wasting my life and wasting my potential. And God has spoken to me about those things today. Would you raise your hand? You say, that's me. There are hands all over the auditorium. You may put those hands down. Here's what we're going to do. In a second, I'll turn to the instrumentalists. They'll begin to play. As they begin to play, we're all going to stand. The choir will sing a song of invitation. The men on this platform will leave the platform. They'll make their way down to the lower floor. They'll post themselves at the front of each aisleway. If you need to be saved, you leave your seat, walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, you walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be baptized. If you've been saved and baptized, you say, it's time for me to join the church. You walk up to one of the men. You join this church. There's somebody in here. It's time for you to get it together. Somebody in here needs to slap yourself and say, I need to stop wasting my life. I need to get my life on track. And maybe you need this old-fashioned altar to make that decision. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir sing a song of invitation. How about it, student? Make up every excuse under the sun as to why you can't pass the class. But the truth is, you organize to play a video game that you want to organize to study. How about it, marriage? Is it time for you to get it together and start dating on purpose? How about it with your finances? Isn't it about time that you got it together in regard to your finances? How about it in your ministry? You say, Brother Owens, why isn't my ministry going well? Why don't you get it organized? The Holy Spirit will work in your ministry, but you've got to give Him something to work with. Somebody here needs to consciously get your life together, get your marriage together, get your family together, get your finances together, get a plan. Don't get sidetracked. If you've been saved and never baptized, you need to get that cared for. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's God's plan. And you need to join the church. Yeah.
everything in the world. Let me tell you something. You ignoring the hard part of business will destroy you. Right? The easy part is using your personality. The easy part is doing what comes real smoothly. Hey, counting the money that comes in is always funner than logging it where it belongs and setting aside the taxes and getting organized. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble. You don't want to tangle with the IRS. They're bigger than you. Do it right. Do it right for your sake. Some of you businessmen could double the size of your businesses if you would double the energy and effort you put into doing it right. Don't try to take a bunch of shortcuts. Don't fizzle out in 2 years because you just chose not to do things the right way. Some of you have way too much time on your hands. All you do is lay around. Once you organize your life so you don't have so much time on your hands, you won't be quite as depressed. You may have gone somewhere this morning and heard a sermon maybe delivered a little better than this one. I'm sure that's true. But I'll promise you, if you wanted to hear a sermon that could change the way you live, you heard it. Everybody that comes to me for counsel, one of the first things I do is I begin to organize their problem. I begin to look at it. I begin to study it. I begin to analyze it. I put certain things in, take certain things out. We start organizing so God can do a work. Time for some of you to organize yourself to the point where you're spending time with your family. Organize your relationship. One of the greatest causes of failure is a lack of organization. The greatest creators of stress is a lack of organization. It causes confusion and depression and waste of life and waste of potential and unreached goals and unfulfilled dreams. Look, folks, there's a way to get where you're going. If you're at point A, you can get to point B, but you got to plan the journey. You're not going to suddenly wind up successful. Through the song. Those of you that help with baptism in the heat, make sure that you're ready. Thank you, choir, and thank you, congregation.